Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my two-year-old toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Tony Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie.
If you haven't listened to one of our earlier episodes, I'll just briefly describe what perimenopause is. And then today, Tony's going to share her fertility journey. For those that don't know, perimenopause can be the period of time even 10 to 15 years before menopause hits. That's when you start to get changes in your cycle, changes in your mood or weight. So as naturopathic doctors, Tony and I see women commonly coming in during perimenopause complaining of weight gain, where they're saying, I'm doing everything the same, but I'm just slowly creeping up on the scales. I don't know why I'm gaining 5, 10 pounds. They also notice that their cycle is changing. So they might get a period every 3 weeks or every 6 weeks, every 3 months. It's becoming more unpredictable. And the flow can really change as well. There may be some spotting between cycles. The flow can get really heavy, or it can actually get really light as well. For some women, they just don't feel like themselves, especially during the premenstrual time. So even the week or two before their period comes, they might feel really anxious, feel short and snappy with their partners, and sleep during that time or even other times of the month can be affected as well. So women may fall asleep okay, but they might wake up due to hot flashes or from thinking too much. That can happen several hours after falling asleep. Or some women might just have trouble falling asleep to begin with. They just can't settle down and never really feel like they get into that deep phase of sleep. Commonly, people might notice they have brain fog, it's harder to concentrate, or their memory is getting really poor. So this is a time definitely where there are hormonal shifts. And as we go through the podcast episodes, you'll learn more and more. But common hormonal imbalances during this time are imbalances in estrogen and progesterone, so the major female hormones, but also cortisol, the stress hormone, can become out of balance, worsening symptoms, as well as thyroid, which can be tested through blood or urine. And even testosterone may be impacted. Libido can definitely tank during this time. So as we go through, you'll learn more and more about perimenopause. But I'm excited for Tony to share her fertility journey. So Tony, did you want to share that with us today?
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. It's interesting, you know, listening to you kind of go through what perimenopause is. You know, I look back to before I got pregnant and kind of am almost like ticking off some of those symptoms that you were listing, in terms of, you know, hot flashes, kind of, night sweats, you know, some hormonal cycle imbalances that I had to deal with before I got pregnant. So, you know, it's one of those things when, you know, when you're looking at becoming a mom, when you're older, it really is like, I really find it's a labor of love. It's really easy to get pessimistic and to see that, okay, you know, there may be some hurdles to really overcome to become pregnant. And that's why I'm really excited to kind of share my story, because there may be some of you out there who are looking at adding to your family, or even are not quite perimenopausal mamas, your perimenopausal mamas to be. You may get some inspiration from me sharing my story. I really think it's important to have inspiration, especially, you know, when I was looking at really starting to work on getting pregnant, and was talking to my family doctor and said, okay, yeah, I'm ready to look at getting pregnant. And she said, but you're 40. And I just kind of smiled and nodded at her. You know, something like that, when you're faced with someone who it doesn't quite maybe share your dream of becoming pregnant when you're older, that can really be disheartening. So it's really important to kind of look at the women who have done it. And that's where, you know, I always thought of my inspiration for becoming a mom when I was older. Colleagues and friends, my friends Lori and Kari, and even my fellow podcaster here, Dr. Lisa, having her little guy Stuart when she was older as well. So looking at those women were really important, because I always knew I wanted to be a mom and have kids. And I remember being in the food court, I think I was about 16 years old, and I was sitting with my mom and we were munching on some New York fries, and I looked over and a table down the way, there was a woman and her baby. And I was just struck with the fact that I wanted that. And I said to my mom, I want one of those. And she looked at me really strangely. And I just said, I wanted to be a mom. And there wasn't anything specific about the baby or the mom. I was just struck with that inner knowing of really that's how I saw my life in the future. And, my mom was a little bit worried for a second, being 16 and saying, I want a baby, but she didn't have anything to worry about. I wasn't dating in high school or anything like that. She realized after a while that she had nothing to worry about that way. And actually it was when I was 25, I wrote down, and created a 15-year plan. Basically, the 15-year plan was, by the time I was 40, I wanted to have a baby. In the middle, there was, getting a boyfriend and maybe getting married and that kind of thing. But those pieces of the plan weren't really important. It was that end goal of baby by the time I was 40. So that was always kind of in my mind as, something to shoot for. And as I got older, I realized that the middle piece of actually finding the partner was kind of important. I realized that I didn't want to go solo, especially as I had friends who started having kids. And, a shout out to my good friend Jen, who really didn't sugarcoat what motherhood was all about. So I realized this is not something I want to do by myself. This is something I really need to do with a partner. So it took some time to find the right partner. I don't know about any of our listeners out there, but I kissed a few frogs. And I was really glad when I finally met my partner, Davin, when I was 39. Thankfully, he was ready to settle down since my clock was ticking and I was, really getting towards the end of my 15-year plan. I was almost 40. Once I had met him, I really looked at working on my fertility, really specifically with my naturopathic doctor. And this, first off, really kind of, looked at, okay, physically what we could work on. I had been working with my naturopathic doctor for years, and something that I had been having was, my cycles, my menstrual cycles were pretty regular, but they were on the shorter side. Sometimes they were only, 21, 24 days in length. So I would get, I would have a period starting, every 21 or 24 days. So they were definitely on the short side. We definitely worked with some great herbs, like Vitex, to really lengthen my cycle a bit. And that was helpful. Once I was really started to focus on improving my fertility, I worked on eating as clean as possible, as much as I could, although I wasn't super strict, but I really wanted to avoid some of those foods that I know don't do well with me. I know I don't do well with dairy. I know I don't do well with wheat or corn. And I really tried to minimize sugar, even though I definitely have a sweet tooth. Something else that we really looked at is having me take some antioxidant supplements. And because those are really important for the health of the uterus, the health of the ovaries, and also egg quality. So some of the nutrients that I took were things like CoQ10 and NAC or N-acetylcysteine, as well as really looking at using homeopathy as well to really help to balance things out. So once we were kind of working on that and once it was really closer to time to really look at start trying, we definitely looked at doing some hormone testing. So I actually did some hormone testing through the blood. And that was partly done through my family doctor, which was great to have that coverage through the healthcare system. So we did some testing day 3 of my menstrual cycle and day 21 of my cycle, or you know, about 7 days before my next period. And we found that my FSH, or my follicle stimulating hormone, was slightly higher than ideal. And my progesterone levels were super low. You know, like Dr. Lisa had mentioned, progesterone is one of those hormones that can really become out of balance in perimenopause. And that's definitely what I was experiencing. So that could even be called a luteal phase defect. When progesterone is low at the end of the cycle, that doesn't bode well for fertility because progesterone is really important to maintain a pregnancy. So still worked with herbs like Vitex, but that didn't necessarily change my hormone levels in my case. So I got my family doctor on board with, you know, she was not only willing to test for progesterone, but when we saw that my progesterone was really quite low, she was willing to prescribe a bioidentical form of progesterone called Prometrium. And she said, okay, I'll prescribe this to you for 6 months and then come back and see me. So that's what I did. And not only on top of that, I was also, you know, really willing to try a number of other therapies. I wanted to really cover my bases. So I also received some visceral work, some visceral treatment from another naturopathic doctor colleague of mine. A patient of mine had gone to see her for visceral work before getting pregnant. So I thought, okay, I will go in and get some visceral work. It was really lovely. It was it's really gentle body work. It's hands-on on the abdominal area. It was a really enjoyable session. And I think it even, you know, looking back, potentially really integrated some of the other work that I had done that was really non-physical. Like I had mentioned, I had been seeing my naturopathic doctor for a while. We had been working together actually since I was in naturopathic medical school and she was an intern. And we were working on my digestion and my chronic migraines and my immune system health that wasn't so great when I was growing up. And it was while I was at school that, you know, we were introduced to this idea of different patterns being passed down from our parents and our grandparents. In homeopathy, it's called miasm, and in traditional Chinese medicine, there's different patterns that can be passed down through generations. So I really had already been working with my naturopathic doctor for a while on this kind of idea and on these kind of mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual aspects of health. One thing at naturopathic medical school a really important thing that we learned is really how stress impacts our health and impacts our physical health. Growing up, you know, I'm a pretty easygoing person, but especially growing up internally, I was a little bit high strung. I was a little bit on the anxious side. So, I was really drawn to, you know, really helping to address that and really minimizing that stress that I felt internally. So I was definitely drawn to some personal development and specifically a course called the Landmark Forum that was recommended by someone I really admire, Dr. Gabor Mate. He came and spoke to us at a naturopathic conference about stress. And his recommendation for really looking at how to address stress in your life, how to manage it, and how to do your own work to minimize that stress impacting your physical health. You know, he had recommended the Landmark Forum course. So when I took that, it really broke down how I looked at stress and created stress, as well as looking at, you know, what was going on in my life. You know, as dealing with my parents' separation and eventual divorce. And, you know, that idea of having a family breakdown after a number of years really kind of rocked me a bit. So that idea of even looking forward to say, okay, if I have a family, if I do have a child, how does this work with between my mom and dad and any kind of tension or uncomfortableness that could be created by us coming together when I have a baby? But what I really found incredible with doing that kind of personal development through the Landmark Forum and subsequent courses was I was able to create an intention of having a loving family that celebrated together and wasn't held back personally by any unease or potential disagreement that could happen because of that, which was really fantastic. And you know, over the years, it's been really extraordinary how my family has come together to celebrate at my brother's wedding and at my dad's 70th birthday, having us all together and talking and laughing for hours without, you know, being uncomfortable or being worried about, you know, not only what each of us thought, but, you know, what other people think as well. Again, kind of going, I really worked on, you know, that those bonds that that were there with my parents, but also looking back at looking back further, you know, that idea of patterns being passed down through generations really came to light when I was introduced to family constellation therapy, which looks at intergenerational trauma. When I was in school and really addressing my mental and emotional health with my naturopathic doctor, this idea of being impacted by generations before me really came to light. I started thinking about the fact that my dad's mother died after childbirth, and her baby died as well. It was her fifth child. So this idea of it being not only impacted by, you know, that grief that can be experienced in my dad's family, but then looking at how that trauma in my dad's life could then impact my fertility. That idea was really confirmed in my mind when I, you know, participated in a family constellation therapy workshop. So I was able to really do some further work in that to really, you know, subconsciously and consciously process and release those fears and entanglements that could be associated with my grandmother's death, because I really didn't want anything in the way of my fertility. So I was willing to do kind of that extra work to really make sure that really nothing was in the way. I didn't want any obstacle in the way. So, you know, I had done, you know, the 6 months of the Prometrium that was prescribed by my family doctor. Now, my menstrual cycles weren't necessarily super smooth while I was on the Prometrium, but after 6 months, I returned to my family doctor for her to confirm my pregnancy with a blood test because I had a positive urine test at home. You know, I have to say, I think I surprised her a little bit. I think she might have been expecting to refer me to the fertility clinic, which would have been fine. And, you know, thank goodness that option is there. But I really think it was worth it for me to do that extra work to address my physical health, as well as the stuff under the surface, the stuff that we don't see, the stuff that was definitely in my blind spots, because I really believe that they help get me pregnant. You know, that idea of dealing with that underlying stress and that hidden stress that we don't recognize in our lives or just try to avoid or stuff down. Even if we're avoiding it or stuffing it down, it can impact us in ways that we don't even really realize. So by doing all that work, not only do I think it helped me get pregnant, but I also think it's helped me become a better mom and deal with some of even the postpartum challenges that I've had. You know, it's not easy becoming a mom. So the more stuff that's out of my way that isn't impacting how I see things or kind of, you know, putting some clouded lenses, clouded glasses over my eyes, I can kind of see clearly and be able to tackle the joys and the challenges of motherhood in a different way.
Wow, Toni, that's quite the journey. Thank you for sharing. You did so much work to get yourself ready mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I think a lot of people really focus on the physical. That's kind of the most common route to take for getting ready to have a baby. But it really is important, as you mentioned, to uncover, you know, where your stress is coming from, even from your own life or from inherited tendencies, as well as past lives as well. And then addressing those challenges and working through those to get your body, mind, and soul ready for, as we know, which is the huge shift of becoming a mother. It just turns everything upside down. So, wow, that's amazing, Toni. You did such great work for preparation, and thanks for sharing your journey. I think it gives people a lot of insight into the need for a holistic approach when it comes to getting ready to have a baby and for balancing your hormones.
You know, I think it's important for women to kind of know all those options that are out there. And yeah, oftentimes we just focus on the physical. And some of that other work isn't necessarily easy. But like I said, I really think it's worth it. So it's definitely something for people to consider.
Definitely, because as we know in the naturopathic world and now in the medical world, our thoughts actually change our biology. And even just how we see our parents or other family members cope with stress, we can automatically cope in the same way. And it becomes subconscious, and we just react that way. So it's great that you stood back and saw the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think it's really important to kind of interrupt those patterns and yeah, create something new.
All right. Well, that's amazing, yeah. Toni. Thanks for sharing.
Awesome.
There was already some super mom moments in there, but I wanted to ask over the past week for you to share another super mom moment.
For sure. I definitely had a super mom moment this past week. I was at a friend's house, and, you know, Frankie was playing with the other kids in the living room. And we were having a good time. I didn't really pay attention to the fact that at my friend's place, they have stairs. And at our place, we don't have stairs that are you know, out there for as a potential harm. And you know, we were hanging out, and I automatically looked over at Frankie. She was heading right towards the stairs. And in that moment, I just moved so quickly. I felt like I was leaping over a tall building, and I was able to pick Frankie up and grab her before she tumbled down the stairs. So I definitely felt like a super mom in that moment, preventing her from tumbling and falling down the stairs.
That's amazing, Tony. You were actually a superhero. So you put your cape on, you flew right over and you scooped her up. So whew, disaster averted.
Exactly. I felt really proud of myself.
Way to go, Tony.
Thanks. And how about you, Lisa? Do you have a mom mess up moment for this week?
Yeah, I'll say I did have a mess up. I feel really bad for Stuart because it caused him some undue stress. But being told from our midwives, to how to look after our kids and babies, we were told trim their fingernails every so often, but it wasn't really mentioned about their toenails. I got the impression that you didn't really have to cut them too often. They would just peel off. But I started to notice recently that Stuart was walking, and he was walking like he was uncomfortable or something was bothering him. So during his bath time, I just looked at his feet and I saw his toenails were starting to curl down into his toes. There wasn't any infection or redness, but it just looked like it was hard to find the edges of the toenails. So I thought, that's not a good sign. I hadn't really cut them for a while. I'm embarrassed to admit how long I'd gone without cutting his toenails. Fingernails are another story because he can scratch us and the other kids at his daycare. But I thought, okay, well, we got to do this now. So after his bath, it's always the best time to cut nails because they're softer. But I had to get my husband, Pete, involved. And he had to hold Stuart down while I cut his toenails. And he was screaming. I think it was uncomfortable. Like, I didn't cut him or anything, but I really had to work to get to the edges of the nails and cut them off. And I'm due to check them again and do it again. So we're going to try to stay on top of it every 1 or 2 weeks to keep them nice and short. But poor Stuart, he did walk better after we did cut them though. So just a heads up, check the toenails, cut them more frequently than you think you need to.
That's an important lesson learned, Lisa.
I hope you can avoid that disaster. He really hates getting his toenails cut.
Yeah, and really minimize some stress and trauma for everyone in the family.
Definitely. Well, let's divert the attention away from my mess up. I want to hear a mom must have. What's something you can't live without as a mom, Tony?
Oh, yeah. My mom must have is absolutely magnesium. I'm a super big fan of magnesium. I will be mentioning magnesium a lot over the podcast episodes. I'm a big fan of topical magnesium. My favorite is Epsom gel. When, of course, having Frankie and carrying around a baby and picking up the baby from the crib and that kind of thing, it's and even like leaning over to feed her, it's a lot of extra stress and tension in the neck and shoulders. I even got to a point where I had trigger points in my shoulder that were really painful that I needed to get treated with acupuncture. It was really worrying for me because, when you have that much pain, I was starting to think, how am I going to look after Frankie? How am I going to, pick her up when she wants to be picked up or needs to get picked up? So I use Epsom gel daily. I rub it in my neck. I rub it in my shoulders, even my lower back. It has topical magnesium as well as some arnica and essential oils. It smells great. It feels good. And it really keeps any kind of trigger points and extra tension at bay. So it is my mom must have right now.
I love that. Yeah, magnesium is amazing, even in pregnancy for leg cramps and sleep issues, you know, taking it orally or topically. So topically through the skin, yeah, you can definitely absorb things like minerals, magnesium through the skin. So that's why we have to think about our body care products too, because there can be hormone disruptors in there. But
absolutely. Yeah,
you definitely have, like you said, trigger points. So areas where the muscles are just so tight and tender. And I'm glad you found a remedy for that. So I'm sure a lot of moms are going to appreciate you sharing that bit of advice.
Yeah, magnesium is a great natural muscle relaxant, especially when you use it on a regular basis. So that's why I'm a big fan of using it daily.
For sure. And if people are getting in more caffeine, more alcohol, that actually makes us urinate out more magnesium. And if we're stressed, we just burn through it. So we typically can't get enough from our food. So I love that, Tony. And sounds like a nice formula you have if it has those nice essential oils in there too.
Yeah, it just adds a little extra punch to it. So I feel like it's just a little bit more effective with that combination as well.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us again this week. If you like our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Tell your friends about us and let us know if you have a burning question or you want us to cover a specific topic in a future episode. You can visit our website at perimenopausalmamas.com and follow us on social media. Thanks again for joining us and have a wonderful week.
We'll see you again next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.